our series, our first series in the book of Matthew today called Fresh Start. And today we are talking about a fresh power, a fresh power. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. We are looking at a whopping three verses today, verses 23 through 25. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, it'll be up on the screen. And so far in this series, we have been looking at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, everything that it entailed, from the preparation of him coming to earth and to ministering for 3.5 years with John the Baptist preparing the way. And then Jesus comes and he prepares by getting baptized by John. And we talked about the importance of that and what it symbolizes in the beginning of his ministry. We've talked about him calling his first disciples, him being tempted, right? Sometimes a fresh start goes terribly wrong. And it even happened with Jesus when he was tempted. And last week we talked about Jesus calling his disciples, how he gave each and every one of us a fresh purpose in this life to share the gospel with those around us. Well, this morning we are finishing up this series by talking about a fresh power. See, in the last two verses of chapter 4, Matthew is wrapping up this introduction to Jesus' ministry by revealing what his ministry is all about. And it's all about two things that we see in these two or three verses. It's all about repentance, and it's all about Jesus doing miracles to reveal that he has the power to save us. You see, these three verses, they summarize the rest of the entire book of Matthew. So if you're wondering, man, Pastor Brandon, what is the book of Matthew all about? Read these three verses, and you get a very good summary. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't get to come and listen to the rest of the teachings on the book of Matthew, okay, because there's lots of good stuff in there. But it summarizes what Matthew is trying to do, to reveal to us the importance of Jesus's ministry. And what we see, the main thought that we get is that miracles are essential to the gospel. Miracles are essential to the gospel. So, well, what does that have to do with a fresh power? I don't know about you. I don't know very many people who have the power to perform miracles on their own behalf. But Jesus does. And they are essential to the gospel. That's what Matthew is teaching here in these few verses. What we see in these three verses as we read them here in just a moment is that Jesus teaches and preaches about repentance. And he follows it up by performing miracles. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, this is what it says. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching and preaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And news about him spread as far as Syria. And people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went, and people from Galilee, the 10 towns, not 10 sleep, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea and from east of the Jordan River. We see here that Jesus teaches and preaches to repent of your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is near, and he follows that up by performing miracles. We see that miracles are essential to the gospel. And as I said earlier, these verses, they summarize the rest of Matthew's book, because what we see, the way that Matthew is laid out, is we see Jesus teach and preach. And then right after a section in the book about Jesus teaching and preaching, it then goes to a list of miracles that Jesus performs. What we see right after this, and after chapter 4, in verses 5 through 7, we have one of Jesus' most famous teachings, the Sermon on the Mount. In chapters 8 and 9, immediately after he teaches this incredible sermon that you think I preach long, listen to Jesus' sermon, he performs multiple miracles in chapters 8 and 9. Then in chapters 10 through 13, Jesus teaches parables, right? Speaking in wonderful stories to illustrate spiritual truths. And then in chapters 14 and 15, he does even more incredible miracles, like feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, raising people from the dead. Chapter 16, Jesus teaches about his coming death. And in chapter 17, he then goes and he heals a boy with a demon. Chapters 18 through 24, Jesus teaches and preaches on several different topics. In the last three chapters of the book, Jesus performs the greatest miracle ever, where he dies on the cross and raises from the dead. This is the entire emphasis of Matthew's book, that Jesus preaches the gospel. You need to repent of your sin and turn your life to God because the kingdom of heaven is near. The end is coming soon. And to show that he has the authority to preach and to forgive you of your sins, he performs miracles to show that he has the power to save you from your sin. This is the entire thing. Miracles are essential to the gospel. And in these three verses, we see several things. One is we see two reasons why miracles are essential, and then we see two reasons about how miracles should work. If you haven't caught on yet this morning, I believe that God still does miracles. Amen? Anybody believe that this morning? God still does miracles. Why does he do miracles? Why? Well, the first and the most important reason why Jesus performs miracles is because miracles attract people to Jesus. Miracles attract people to Jesus. Look at the verses again. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And news about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. And large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns around Galilee, all the way from Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from the east of the Jordan River. What we see is that when Jesus performed miracles, people came to Jesus, right? News about him spread all the way to Syria, to an entire other country, and people began to flock around Jesus to see who this man is who can heal the lame, who can make the blind see, who can cast out demons, who can raise the dead. Who is this person? Miracles attract people to Jesus. You see, when God does miracles, people should hear about it. They should. If you have had a miracle happen in your life, that there is no other explanation other than God himself intervened and moved in your life, you should tell people about it. That's what all of these people did. They began to hear about what Jesus did in their life. And they're like, man, you know what? My life, it's not perfect. I have health issues. I have financial difficulties. I'm struggling in my marriage and in my relationship. So if this person can give me even a little bit of hope, let me go and see what this person is like. Share the story of God's miracles. People want to come and see who this Jesus really is. This is the main reason why Jesus performed miracles. So people would come to him and then he could share with them the key to eternal life. To repent of your sins, to turn to him, and to follow him for the rest of your life. See, if you're wondering about how you share the gospel, as we talked about last week, right? This fresh purpose to share the gospel. The greatest way for you to share the gospel is to share the miracles that God has done in your life and for those around you. Miracles are the greatest evangelistic tool we will ever have because they come straight from Jesus. So they attract people to Jesus. I don't know about you, but if somebody is being healed, I want to know how they got healed. If somebody has a check come in the mail after they've been struggling financially, I want to know how they got that check. Right, if somebody is on the brink of divorce and some crazy way they are reconciled back together, I want to know how that happens. And it's all because of Jesus. It just attracts people to Jesus. Here's the other thing that miracles do. Miracles authenticate Jesus' power. Here's the great thing about Jesus. Not only do we hear stories about Jesus healing people 2,000 years ago, Jesus even healing people today, but they're not just stories. Sometimes it's easy for us to read the Bible and to read all of these incredible things that Jesus did, and we can think that they were just stories. But what we see is that miracles authenticate the power of Jesus. It's not just a story. He truly has the power to do what he came to do. If he has the power to heal you, he has the power to save your soul. You see, what we see is that you cannot separate the preaching of the gospel from the power of miracles. You can't do it. If you hear preaching of the gospel, there should be signs and wonders to follow. The power of miracles. That's how Jesus based his entire ministry. It was, let me teach you and preach you that the kingdom of heaven is near, that you need to be forgiven of your sins, but then I'm going to show you I have the power by healing you, by delivering you, by setting you free. Think about the man who was lowered right out of, from the basket, from the roof, because there were so many people crowded around the house trying to get to Jesus when he was healing people. And so they got the bright idea. It must have been from my family. Let's do something crazy. Let's cut a hole in the roof. Let's climb our paralyzed friend up onto the roof and lower him down in front of Jesus. We'll cut the line. And they do that. And Jesus comes and he says, man, your friend's faith, it must be incredible that they did all of this. Right? They shared the gospel. They told their friend, there is a man that can heal you. Their faith must be incredible. And the Pharisees, they get all upset and they're like, man, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And what does Jesus say? He says, hey, before I ever even heal this person, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees are like, whoa, what do you mean? You don't have the power to forgive him of his sins. Only God can do that. Right? Jesus is sharing the gospel with this paralyzed man. And he says, let me show you the power that I have. Take up your mat and walk. And the man immediately gets up and walks. See, miracles authenticate the power that Jesus truly has. They reveal that there is a God greater than any earthly or scientific explanation that we could have, and that God deserves to be worshiped. You may be thinking, well, yeah, but Jesus was here on this physical earth, and so he did these things, but does God really still heal today? Well, I am here to tell you personally that God still heals today. Amen? Jesus comes, and he says, hey, I am going to heal people to authenticate my power, to show people who he is. So, if you're like, man, I don't know about this whole Jesus guy. I don't know if this is somebody that I can really put my faith and my hope and my trust for eternal life in. Yeah, he might have done this stuff before, but does he do it today? Well, I broke my back a couple months ago. You all know this. I go to the doctor. He says, hey, your bone density is extremely low. I look at this x-ray. I can see you almost straight through your bones. Most likely have osteoporosis. We just need to confirm it with some scans. I go, I get a bone density scan. I'm waiting. I get some more x-rays 2 days before I go back to the doctor. People in the church are praying. Kinsey and I were praying because, man, back braces are not fun. They're not. And I go to the doctor, and I expect the doctor to say, hey, you can get out of the brace, but you need to take it easy for, you know, another year or so to let things heal. And here's what we're going to do to treat this early onset osteoporosis. And I go, and he says, this doesn't make sense. You are completely healed. And he says, by completely healed, what I mean is that your bone density is stronger, that I look at your new x-ray, and I can't see through it at all. Your bone density test, it came back perfectly normal and fine. And there is scientific evidence that 3 months ago, this is what my bones looked like. And now today, this is what they look like. There is no earthly explanation as to why that can happen. But God did a miracle. He did it, yes, because he loves me, but he did it because he wants somebody to know that he has the power to redeem your soul. He has the power to save your life. If he can heal somebody's bones, he can certainly heal your soul. Donald Hagner is a theologian, and he's written multiple commentaries, which just helps explain what the Bible is. And he has this quote. He says, Jesus' teaching and preaching were done in the context of a healing ministry that, as we see later in the gospel, pointed to the validity of his message. What is he saying? The reason why Jesus healed and performed miracles was to authenticate his power as the Son of God. So why does God still do miracles today? To bring people to hear this message, to repent, to turn of your sins, because the kingdom of God is coming soon. Jesus is coming back, and this world will be no more. And he has the power to save your soul, because he has the power over everything. So that's why Jesus performs miracles. But how? What? Why should he do it to me? Can I really believe that Jesus is going to heal me? Well, what we see in this passage of scripture as well is this, that there are no limits to the miracles that Jesus can do. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, man, you know what? We see in the Bible, they have Jesus, he raises the dead, he casts out demons, right? He makes people who are crippled walk, and he makes the blind see, right? Those are the most common things. So why would he heal me of cancer? Because I don't see it in scripture. Why would he heal my back if we don't see him heal any backs in scripture? Why would he heal these things that we just now are knowing about scientifically? Why would he heal my marriage and my relationship with my children? Why would he do any of this stuff? Well, because there's no limits to what he can do. You see, sometimes when we read the Bible, we can get caught down with the specific words that are in there, right? Well, he healed the blind. He made the lame walk. He did this. He did that. He can't do anything else. Well, in verse 23, it says, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. What Matthew is saying is there were so many different illnesses and diseases that people were coming to, he couldn't even list them all. But every single person that came to Jesus got healed. News about him started to spread because he was healing every kind of disease and illness. And whatever their sickness or disease, he gives some examples: demon-possessed, epileptic, paralyzed. He healed them all. He healed them all. What does that tell us? It tells us that there's no limit to the miracle that Jesus could do. Nobody ever came to Jesus and said, man, Jesus, I got a good one for you. Let's see if you can do this. Let's see if you can make this miracle happen. He healed them all. He set all of them free from the bondage of demon possession. He healed every person that came to him. Don't think for a moment this morning that, well, Jesus can heal, but he can't heal me. Don't you dare say, well, Jesus can heal, but he doesn't want to heal me. You see, Jesus' power is greater than that. It is a fresh power, a power that the world had never seen. A power that is essential to the good news that he has come to save the world, to give life and life to the fullest, to give rest to the weary, peace to the distraught, and provision to the poor. Jesus can do whatever you need. My God can, and my God will. And when he does a miracle, he gives us a small taste of this fresh power. The book of Ephesians says this, that the Holy Spirit is simply a deposit, a guarantee of our future inheritance in heaven. Those of you who have bought a home, right? You go and you put down an earnest deposit, right? Sherry Fernicase can teach you all about that. Right? You put it down and you say, hey, here's this deposit that in good faith I'm gonna buy this house. And if for some reason it falls through, you still get to keep this. That's what God says the Holy Spirit is to us. That in moments in our life, the Holy Spirit comes and he performs miracles and he performs works and he does great things in our life just for a taste of what heaven is going to be like in the future. How wonderful is that? So when we see people in our church who get their backs healed, when we see people who give birth to children who are never supposed to have children, when we see people who aren't even in this building but watching on a camera get healed from cancer in an instant, God is saying, this is only a small taste of what I have for you in the future. I can do anything in order to love you. There's no limits to the miracles that Jesus can do. He heals all diseases. The last thing that we see is this, that church should be a place where miracles happen. How do I receive a miracle from Jesus? Well, first of all, what I mean by this, that church should be a place where miracles happen, I don't mean that you can only get a miracle in church. That's not what I'm saying at all. Okay, you can get a miracle anytime, anywhere. We see in Jesus' ministry that he would go to somebody's house, right? He raised a little girl from life in her bedroom. We see that a man whose son had just died while Jesus was walking down the road to get to the house, the boy passed away. Jesus isn't even there and he raises him back to life. So you don't have to be in a specific place for Jesus to do a miracle. But we do see that church should definitely be a place where miracles do happen. That if you come to church, you hear the preaching of the word, there should be miracles to happen. So, Pastor Brandon, why do you say that? Well, Jesus started his ministry preaching and teaching and healing in the synagogue. All right, look at the very first verse. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching good news about the kingdom. Well, what is a synagogue? See, the synagogue is not a temple. The synagogue was simply a place for Jews who lived outside of Jerusalem to be able to come and to worship. And if there were a minimum of 10 families in a town that were Jewish, there had to be a synagogue. Those 10 families would establish the local synagogue. And at the synagogue, they would come and they would worship the Lord. They would hear teaching of the word. They would apply it to their lives, much like church today. We come, we worship, we hear the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word of God. We apply it to our lives today. We get closer to the Lord. That's what the synagogue was for. Now, it wasn't the temple where they would offer sacrifices and they would do all of these things, much like our physical church building here, right? That's not the church. Right? We are the church, every single one of us who follows Jesus, we are the church, united with every other follower of Jesus in the world. But the church is the place that we come to hear from the Lord, to be taught, to be preached the word of God. And it was in these places that Jesus started his ministry. And so sometimes, this is interesting, because let me tell you, when I read this, it really kind of threw me for a loop for a minute, because everything that I've been taught or everything that I assumed about Jesus' ministry was that after he was baptized by John and after he got back from the wilderness, he just starts walking down the street and just starts preaching the gospel, right? Anybody else thought that before? Like Jesus, he just starts going, right? He's holding up a sign, right? Repent of your sin and turn to God. That's not what Jesus did at all. First place he went was to the synagogue, where the religious people were, where he knew people who followed God would be at. And he says, let me show you the power that God has given me as his son. Let me show you what I came to do. Let me perform some miracles. See, the church today must not only have the preaching of the gospel, but the power of the gospel as well. Jesus changes lives. And all who came to the synagogue, heard him preach and teach and heal, were healed. Church should be a place where miracles happen. That's why we take time every single week to pray for you, for God to do miracles. So let me ask you this. If church should be a place where miracles happen, how often do you come to church expecting a miracle to happen? See, sometimes we can think, well, hey, this is where miracles are supposed to happen. This is where God is supposed to show up. This is where he worships. Well, he's not doing that, so you know what? Maybe this isn't the church for me. Maybe, you know, there's just something that's going off, that's going wrong. Well, how often do you come expecting God to actually meet your need? You see, miracles, when God does them, it increases our faith. Say, God, you are still alive and well. You are still a wonder-working God. You still do fresh and new things each and every day. I don't know what you came into church with this morning. Maybe you came in skeptical about the whole faith and religion and what it means to follow Jesus. And he's saying, hey, just look at people that have experienced miracles and you can see a little taste of my power. And he wants to work that power in your life as well to save your soul. Maybe you came in this morning and you have some health issues. And you've been going to the doctors and you've been doing the routines and you've been taking the medicine. And all of those are great things. I'm not telling you don't do that. But did you ever come to church expecting God to heal you too? Maybe you came in and you're just struggling financially and maybe you're a little bit embarrassed and you don't want anybody to know and so you're trying to figure it out yourself, but man, you are just drowning and you don't know what to do. Did you ever think to come to God and ask him to help you, to give you wisdom in how to help your finances, to come alongside and support you and give you a miracle? See, when we expect God to do things, you can expect God to do things. It's all about faith. Do you believe that God can actually heal you? Then come expecting him to do great things. So here's what I want to do. Here in just a moment, Peyton is going to play a worship song. And if you are here this morning and you need a fresh power of God in your life. If you're like, man, I haven't really come expecting God to do anything in my life, but you need him to. You need the power that only Jesus can bring in your life. Maybe it is a physical healing or something else. We're going to take the next few moments and we are going to ask God to come and to meet our needs. Not because we're being selfish, not because we're asking for ourselves, but God, I want you to do this. I need you to do this, yes, because it helps me, but then I can go and I can share who you are with other people. You can draw people to you through what you do in my life. So Peyton, as you cue up that song, if you need prayer, if you need a miracle at all this morning, I just want to ask you to come up to the front, begin to pray, and we're going to surround you with prayer as our deacons come and our board members come, and we're going to pray for you because where two or three are gathered in his name, he is with us. We're going to ask God to do great things. So if you need a miracle this morning, will you come up to the front as we worship? If not, worship this song, pray for other people, and believe God to have the power to do miracles.
sleep.